8 o'clock, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Tuesday, got Mav Day coming up later on. Chance to play her trivia as well. And we still have Wrigley Field covered with sports trivia this hour to play. Also, AAA Records, Stadium Cinema. So a lot of stuff you can win today on the program. Nuggets.
Yeah. Loaded.
Yeah,
loaded.
Exactly. Loaded up on a Tuesday. So Nuggets clinched last night against the Lakers. Jamal Murray hits the 14-foot jumper. Second time in the series that he rips the Lakers still beating hard out and shows it to them.
Yes. Couldn't happen to a better team.
This time is LeBron and AD start thinking about tee times. No, I'm not saying that they...
1, 2, 3, Cancun, yeah, baby.
That's right. Who goes farther after this first round? Because the Avalanche have a chance to clinch tonight in Winnipeg, right here on the team. Pre-game at 7. Who goes farther? The Nuggets or the Avalanche? Who's going to be tonight's Jamal Murray for the Avalanche? Buckeye's got Georgie. I've got McKinnon. Who nails this thing down tonight for the Avalanche? Or do you think they don't nail it down tonight? Text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340. Yeah, who's the negative one out there? Nah, yep. They lose tonight and winning.
I don't think so, guys.
Not going to happen tonight, guys.
Yep.
All right, who do we have on the team line right now?
Mark.
Okay. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Coach Vanna, how are you?
Hey, good to hear from you, Mark. How are things? How's the fishing today?
Buddy, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
It's been real good.
Okay, very good. It's tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow's on the agenda for Mark. So what's on your mind, my friend?
You are on my mind. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. It was very nice of Josh and Paul to do what they did. I know Buckeye provided a lot of the information, unbeknownst to me, about that he got to them for the award for the nomination. And so I'm very humbled by it, and I appreciate the kind words from folks like you that do the actual real work of coaching kids and the day-to-day things that go along with that. That's certainly a far more impactful thing that I do than I could ever do. But I appreciate that, Mark.
You know, I just want to give you your kudos too, because you bring the voice when parents can't travel, and you celebrate with us, and you burn up when we burn up, and we just appreciate all you do for this valley. So there you have it, buddy. Congratulations.
Well, Mark, thank you. And I always appreciate you've been coaching a very long time, and appreciate what you do, my friend. Thank you so much, Mark. Great to hear from you, and good luck tomorrow fishing.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, take care. All right, Mark Vanna, who, of course, been a long-time assistant basketball coach here in the Valley, and at fruit of these days, and so appreciate the kind words from Mark today. Very nice of him. All right, 8:04, Jim along with Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, most trusted name in automobiles. Let's see, from Kurt, almost had to turn the game off last night due to the refs.
Can you complain about the refs when you win?
I just don't think you can.
Is that etiquette?
No, I can't.
Ugh, the refs screwed us last night. You won.
I don't understand what Kurt's saying, but yeah. I
just feels like poor winning to me a little bit, and I know a lot about poor winning.
you can teach a master class,
yes,
in that.
I am a very poor sport when it comes to winning.
The Avalanche will last longer than the Nuggets only because the Stanley Cup Finals finish later in the summer. Well,
that's still 16 wins. I get what you're saying.
Who goes deeper into the postseason? Who goes deeper?
Come on, make a stand.
Come on.
Pick one.
Exactly. Take a position on this.
Exactly. Take a position. Don't cop out.
All right, so... Yes, technically it's true. Cup finals end later, but who goes farther in the postseason? All right, text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Let's see. I was trying to get Cody on this morning. Cody,
oh, okay.
Cody cannot come on this morning, so we're going to try to... We may have to do some moving around with Cody this week.
Oh, okay.
Because tomorrow's getting really, really jammed
tomorrow
up.
Tightening up.
Tomorrow we will find out who the speaker at the JUCO World Series banquet's going to be.
You all will find out.
Yes. Some of us already know.
Yeah.
But tomorrow will be, Jamie Hamilton will come in and let us know he's going to speak at the banquet. So we're trying to work some of these things around. Do want to get Cody back on, talk about the Broncos draft, which, well, let's go
and
ahead.
Bo Nix, baby.
Let's you and I have
got
not had a chance
Bo
to talk
Nixes.
About it. Let's dive into it right now. It's Around the NFL.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, so this is our first chance to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a Broncos fan. I feel like we constantly have to restate that position.
I think most people know.
I know going in, you were not a fan of Bo Nix. I understand that. I understand the criticisms. I guess.
As a person that has to watch the team for work, that I'm very, very thankful for Kevin O'Connell. Thank you for drafting J.J. McCarthy, so I don't have to watch that. But also, like, I don't think Bo Nix is going to do what everybody in Broncos country feels needs to happen. I don't think he's the guy that is going to put you on his back and win, because he's going to need to. It's either him or Zach Wilson, and we know Zach Wilson can't do it. There are more avenues to make this team better that they could have taken in the draft than Bo Nix at 12. And it's not personal to Bo Nix. It's Bo Nix at 12, right? Like, if you're in the 20s, sure. But you already had seen movement ahead of you. You'd seen movement right in front of you and behind you. You probably could have gotten one or two more players that would be more balanced impact, like more net positive impact. Because a rookie quarterback, that may be a net negative impact this season. It may turn out to be good down the road, but the win now nature of the fan base and the NFL at large, I don't think Bo Nix is that answer.
My first take was he better be your starter this year.
Guy, he can't beat out Zach Wilson. Yikes.
You can't beat out Stidham. You made a mistake.
If he can't beat out Bo Nix 1.0, what are we doing here?
I'm higher on Bo Nix than you guys are, than you and Cake.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got into a situation where they felt a fear. They panicked a little bit because all of a sudden, you know, you had movement in front of them. The Vikings take J.J. McCarthy, and Penix screwed everything up. The Falcons deal. Screwed everything up because there was kind of these gentlemen's agreements going on of, hey, we're going to take this guy. If you take that guy, we're not going to take that, you know, and all that. And so there was kind of an agreement. And then the Falcons go out and take Penix at 8. And there was a lot of talk that the Raiders wanted Penix right behind the Broncos. And so all of a sudden Penix is gone. And if you're Denver, you go, oh, crap. Because then McCarthy gets taken. Vikings take him at 10.
That could have been the best thing to happen to the Broncos.
Maybe so.
Because then you're not pigeonholed in, well, you had J.J. McCarthy at 12. I think you have more problems with that than you do. You didn't draft Bo Nix at 12. Because the way it unfolded at 12, you had every single defensive player still available.
Absolutely.
Not just best player, like the absolute pinnacle defensive player was left. No matter who it was, you could take a pick. We have 12 different guys.
Defensive back, linebacker, you name it. It was wide open for them.
Latu, Turner, Murphy, Verse, you know, Robinson, Arnold. You had all the, any one of them you wanted was available.
Mitchell was there.
There's no way they woke up Thursday morning like the best defensive player available is going to be whoever we want it to be.
Right. And so here's the thing that happened. They couldn't trade back in their mind Because what happens the Raiders go? Well, because all bets are off now.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders could be going, the guy that we wanted is gone.
Yeah.
So now, do we take Bo Nix? And if you're Denver and you decide to trade back and they take Bo Nix, then all of a sudden, if you don't draft him, then you just get absolutely eviscerated by the fan base. Broncos country loses their minds. Why didn't you stay at 12? Why didn't you draft Bo Nix? Why did you let him go to the Raiders? If you loved him so much and did all this due diligence and you wanted him to be your guy, why did you do that? Why did you move back?
And I know I give Sean Payton a hard time about a lot of things. This would be the perfect situation to have a guy like Sean Payton as the head coach, to where he can walk out to that podium Thursday night, Friday morning, and with the soft questions coming about, well, I mean, the Raiders, who cares about the Raiders? Who cares about the Chiefs? Who cares about the Chargers? We are trying to make our team better. We're going to do what's best for our team, what we think is best for our team, not we're going to try to help our team, but also hurt the Raiders. Like, if you're going into the draft with that mindset, you're going to lose. There's one team that matters on draft night, and it's your team. And that's where Sean Payton would have been the perfect coach for the Broncos to trade back into the 20s, get a couple draft picks maybe, swap with somebody, and try to build the team better. If you're like, well, we got to draft Bo Nix because the Raiders might draft him. Like, you're doing the wrong approach for draft night. If you're worried about the other teams and what they might do, especially like in your division, I get it for 350 days out of the year, but last weekend is not one of those to where, oh man, what if the Raiders draft Bo Nix and start winning? Well, what if we draft three defensive players and he looks terrible twice a year?
But if you want him, you feel like quarterback, if you've done, this is once again, this is going on the due diligence that they've done on him, the meetings that they've had with him. And if you feel like in your heart of hearts, he's our guy. His skill set, better athletically than Drew Brees. He's got more mobility than Drew Brees ever had. If you feel like his accuracy, which is the best of these quarterbacks in this draft, if those things serve what you're looking for your quarterback, the accuracy, the anticipation,
valid reasons to draft.
So you can't screw this up.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm defending Sean Payton on this. That if you, once again, though, Bo Nix might go out and just suck. He might just be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. I'd like to think he's a mature guy. He started more games than anybody in FBS. Started 61 games in his career. That's a lot. He's not Mitchell Trubisky. That started, 15, 16 games at North Carolina?
Less, I think.
When the Bears drafted him?
Yeah, I think it was 12 or something. It's low number.
You have a baseline to work with. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of data to work with. Some of it's not great. The years in Auburn were not great. The Jared Stidham comparison, that's fair. They both put up numbers very comparable when they were at Auburn. But then you can discount, once again, I'm going to go back to this, you can discount the 2 years at Oregon. 45 touchdowns, 3 interceptions his last season. And everybody's like, well, all he does is dink and dunk. Well, Drew Brees never threw the ball down the field a ton.
Mm-hmm.
He always worked between the hash marks. He had Michael Thomas, big physical receiver, get the ball to him on a curl route, yak. Those are the things that Sean Payton looks for in a quarterback. And once again, you and I may not like the Sean Payton offensive system. Guru Gary thinks it's archaic, and it may very well be.
Yeah.
That may very well be the case here.
If
you're going to ride or die with what you do, though, as an offensive coordinator, then you're going to ride or die with a guy that you feel like fit is close to as the guy that you had your greatest success with, and that's Drew Brees.
Yeah, and if you feel all of that, that's perfectly valid, and I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. If you're worried about what the Raiders are going to do, then I have an issue.
I think he's going to be gone. And yeah. I think it could have been anybody.
Bo Nix.
It happened to be the Raiders.
And Bo Nix is the guy, and it's not J.J. McCarthy, thank God. Then, by all means, draft him and see what you have in him. If you feel like he can replicate Drew Brees, you also have to replicate what you gave Drew Brees. An offensive line, a stud wide receiver, a tight end that can go get big catches at big moments, none of which you actually have to prop up Bo Nix right now. That's my issue with Bo Nix. It's like, man, he could replicate what Drew Brees gave Sean Payton.
Well, that's the hope. Once again, I'm going on what the plan is, or at least what
Cortland
the hope
Sutton's
is.
Sutton's not Michael Thomas.
No, he's not.
Garrett Bowles, Mike McGlinchey are not Ryan Ramczyk. Whoever is going to play tight end, Adam Trautman, is not Jimmy Graham.
And once again, you're hoping. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of we hope this is what's going to happen. Hope Greg Dulcich can stay healthy. You hope that. You don't know if it's going to be the case. Like, you don't know if Bo Nix is going to be any good or not. I'm just saying, if you go on experience, which experience does matter.
It does.
He's got more experience than any quarterback in this draft. He's taken more snaps than anybody.
You would hope that makes him less prone to panic in the pocket or outside of the pocket.
And it kills me this. Well, he doesn't challenge teams vertically down the field. Well, you had that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You had him. His name was Russell Wilson. You had that guy that was one of the best deep ball throwers in the league, and it didn't work out because he's not what Sean Payton wants to run his offense, because that's not what they're looking for.
Right, and that's what I've been saying that part for years is, well, he's got a guy that can take the top off. Well, how many times do you do that? How many times do you throw the ball? Oh, you can't throw the ball more than 40 yards down the field. Well, how many times do you do that? How many times do you throw for 40 air yards or more in a game? Four times? Once per quarter? Less? Like, so that part, I'm like, oh, Bo Nix doesn't challenge teams vertically. So?
So what?
Like, he does. My problem more with Bo Nix is that he can't do it alone, whereas some of the other guys might be able to. Bo Nix can't do it alone, and he's going to have to because he doesn't have really any help. I'm sorry to offend the Cortland Sutton fans out there, but he's not really going to help Bo Nix if the last 2 years have been any indicator. Sadly, the most productive wide receiver the Broncos have had last year is a Cleveland Brown now, almost. Their numbers were very similar with Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. You don't have a tight end to speak of. Your running game regressed last year. And that's the guy that, you know, got Alvin Kamara to almost all pro level in Sean Payton. Not doing that with Javonte Williams or whoever else is back there, Samaje Perine. Like, Bo Nix can't do it alone, and he's going to have to. And that was my worry with Bo Nix is they're not out there making the team better around him.
But here's the thing, though, that does help. And I'm not saying this is Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase 2.0, but there's certainly, when you have a guy that you played with in college, and you wish it was Rome Odunze, and it's not, but it's Troy Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
But Troy Franklin turned into a pretty good receiver. In 1 year, its body work is small, but Franklin turned into a pretty good playmaker for Oregon and for Bo Nix.
And that's something I do like, because I said the Bears should have done that.
I'm sorry, Rome Odunze is Washington. I'm sorry, yeah. I'm getting my Oregon and Washington receivers mixed up.
Your Big
up.
Ten schools. I know. It's,
exactly, my Big
so
Ten
weird.
Schools.
But I've been saying that since, how long is that? I honestly, truly felt the Bears should have drafted Jaden Daniels and Malik Neighbors or Thomas.
Pair them together somehow.
Pair them together because when you're a rookie and it's your first game in the NFL and you know those guys across the line are now paid a lot of money to hurt you and knock you out of the game. It helps having a familiar face. You know exactly where he's going to be when you need him to be there. I do like that. I do like that aspect of it.
And so Troy Franklin makes a lot of sense.
He does.
He was Bo Nix's favorite target. He ran a 4.41 in the 40. You know, Denver had to move up. They jumped up 19 spots to take him. He was a 58th ranked player on Dane Brugler's big board. But you've got somebody that Bo Nix knows. There's a comfort level there. And so I think that's a great decision on the part of the Broncos. Give him his best receiver, the guy that he played with for 2 years, a guy that he's developed a rapport with. You need help in the wide receiver room anyway.
He's not going to make you any worse there.
Absolutely not. You know, and Jonah Ellis out of Utah. His dad, Luther, of course, tremendous NFL player, finished up his career at the Broncos, was, I think, the Broncos chaplain for a while. Part of that, you know, the draft class in this past weekend. Chris Abrams' drain was kind of a surprise, the Missouri cornerback. Some, like Jeff Legwald, had him slotted higher. Dane Brugler had him 114th overall in terms of talent in this draft. Feeling is he's kind of a bit of a developmental project for Jim Leonard, who's now the Broncos' secondary coach. Started at Missouri as a receiver, moved him to defensive back. So there's, and what, so what does that look like in terms of getting playing time? Well, they brought in Levi Wallace from the Steelers as a free agent. He's expected to compete with Damari Mathis, Riley Moss. If Riley Moss can stay healthy, Riley Moss might be the guy that solves their corner opposite PS2 coming up this season. You know, the thing is, will Bo Nix be ready to be the starting quarterback? Everything says, in terms of his experience, he's the most battle-tested guy in this draft in terms of getting starts, having experience. A change in scenery helped him immensely going to Oregon. Mature guy, married, has a family. He's about as, in terms
of COVID year, really did.
In terms of personal stability,
Scott Bakula, necessarily.
Exactly.
No, I agree with you that
I will protect your blind side, Mr. Nix.
He's kind of been around the block, and Caleb Williams has too. But I feel that Caleb Williams was kind of carried out of Norman on a chariot. Pardon the Trojan pun.
That's good though.
Bo Nix was kind of kicked out of Auburn.
Yeah, it's like exactly. So he goes to Oregon, though.
Yeah.
And he has two sensational years at Oregon.
He's already kind of pulled himself up by the bootstraps a little.
He's had to deal with adversity.
Yeah.
It didn't go well at Auburn. His dad played there. There was the pressure of that.
Mm-hmm.
The expectations were extremely high on him. And sometimes you just, things don't work out. And maybe your dream place.
Yeah.
And you have to go someplace else.
It happens a lot.
Where Oregon turned out to be the right tonic for him.
It
really did.
My problem with the Bo Nix pick is just that. It's not anything to do really with Bo Nix. I just feel that they're not giving, before the rest of the draft, they didn't really have a lot of help for him.
I think Franklin helps. There's a comfort level there.
Yeah.
Estimate, the Notre Dame kid, he's a good football player, you know, good addition to the Broncos backfield.
Mm-hmm. That might be a steal.
I think it could be.
Fifth round, yeah.
I think the Ellis kid, that's a great pick. He's put some size on, but tremendous edge rusher.
Mm-hmm.
And playing for Kyle Whittingham, you know, he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
Their defenses are always really, really good.
They had a really good Saturday, I feel.
Yeah, I think Denver did just fine. I think, you know, I wish they would have addressed the offensive line situation. I wish they could have traded back.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I don't think that's so much about the Raiders. It was, he's going to go someplace else. Whether it's the Raiders, whether it would have been the Giants or whoever it would have been in that spot, that 13th spot, they felt like, okay, game's changed. They're going to be looking for a quarterback. Now the Penix is off the board, the guy that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Can we afford not to take the guy that we really, really want here? And all indications were that that guy was Bo Nix.
Yeah.
From the jump.
They didn't have to move up to get him either. The trading up for J.J. McCarthy, I was going to lose my mind if they did that.
Yeah.
For a variety of different reasons. The fact they didn't have to move and they still got their guy, from what all they say.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
That's not bad. All right, one final thing before we move on here. That the Broncos yesterday, they made it official, signing defensive end John Franklin Myers to a 2-year deal. Played previously with the Jets. So in the case of John Franklin Myers, what does he bring to the Broncos? Here is John Franklin Myers.
I'm going to bring physicality. I'm going to bring leadership and somebody who's just never going to stop. We don't quit. My son knows that. And that's just how, that's what I'm about. I'm about winning. I'm about helping the team win and doing everything I can for my teammates. And more than anything, physicality. That's what I'm going to bring.
All right. And so.
Hey, that's familiarity for Zach Wilson, too. He saw a lot of that guy jogging off the field.
Hey, JFM.
Hey, I know you.
We're back together again.
Hey, sorry about that pick, bro.
Sorry, man. Sorry about that. So he comes in with Malcolm Roach, Angelo Blackson, along with DJ Jones and Zach Allen. Does a good job stuffing the run. Denver's run defense is putrid. It's absolutely terrible this season. They give up 2,331 yards on the ground. That was just to Miami. No, I'm sorry.
That's what it feels like.
No. They give up 137 yards per game. So hopefully the JFMs of the world will improve that situation with the Broncos.
Can't get much worse.
Can't get much worse. All right. You can text or call us today. Who do you think goes deeper, Avalanche or Nuggets? Nuggets clinch their trip to the second round of the NBA playoffs. Avalanche can do that tonight in Winnipeg against the Jets. Text or call us 970-242-1340. All right, time to celebrate our teachers here in the Valley. We have Angela Christensen with us with the D51 Foundation. It's the Paper Dolls event. Angela, thanks for stopping by today.
Thanks so much for having me on today. I was thinking as I was listening to you, I'm sure Bo Nix had some fantastic teachers.
I would like to think that he probably did. I would think that the Bo had some good teachers growing up. We're talking with Angela Christensen today, and it's the Paper Dolls event to celebrate those wonderful teachers and also other folks. Maybe it's an administrator, maybe a principal that's had a big impact on a child, and parents want to show some appreciation. How do people go about getting the paper dolls, Angela, and how does this whole process work?
Sure. Teacher Appreciation Week will be next week, May 6th through the 10th, and we offer an opportunity through the foundation to purchase a paper doll with a personal message that we will then deliver to your D51 staff member, teacher, anyone in School District 51. They're $10 each. You can get them through our website at d51foundation.org. And there's a possibility if you wanted to add a $10 coffee gift card, we'd sure love you to add that on to your recognition. And whether or not you choose to do a paper doll, just remember next week is Teacher Appreciation Week.
So how long has the foundation been doing the paper doll event?
Yeah, we started it about 7 years ago, I would say, and it's really taken off. Folks find this as an easy way to really recognize those teachers. I'm sure lots of your listeners are aware of the fact that we have the highest graduation rate in the past 17 years, just recently, and much of that is due to the absolute hard work of our D51 teachers.
So instead of just having your kid bring an apple to school, it's paper doll. Maybe it's got a gift card and something that, you know, not that every teacher likes an apple, but a lot of teachers like coffee. So you can include a gift card with that for coffee or whatever. We're talking with Angela Christensen with the D51 Foundation. And for people that are not familiar with the D51 Foundation, Angela, exactly what do you folks do?
Sure. We raise funds for academic growth and achievement and promote outreach to benefit kids and the community. We try to highlight all the wonderful things happening all throughout School District 51.
And so Teacher Appreciation Week is next week. And once again, if somebody wants to get a paper doll for a teacher, staff member, how do they go about doing that?
Go to our website at d51foundation.org, or you can also find us just off of the main school district website.
All right, very good. So show some appreciation for that favorite educator next week with the Teacher Appreciation Paper Dolls. You can go to the D51 Foundation website for more information. All right, Angela, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Coming up, we'll have pole dancing, top five players we think will that were drafted this past week and will have an immediate impact, biggest impact on the NFL, not just players for our teams, for the Broncos and Browns, but just in the league total. So we'll have that. And also with the Fall Guy movie coming out with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, which was back in the day, Lee Majors.
Yeah.
Kind of like Shatner had T.J. Hooker.
Yep.
After, you know, his big success with Star Trek. Of course, Lee Majors was the $6 million man. And then it was the Fall Guy, where he was Colt Seavers. He was
the follow-up to such a great first run of something. T.J. Hooker and Fall Guy.
You know, T.J. Hooker, yeah. Fall Guy might have, but...
If they were reversed, it would be so much better.
I loved $6 Million Man, but there was some stuff like the time he fights the Yeti, and there was some really campy
70s were crap. A wild time. 70s and 80s were.
Yeah.
A lot of cocaine.
So,
a lot of Bolivian nose candy floating around.
Are you trying to quote the Deadpool Wolverine trailer? Are you trying to do that?
A little bit. So good. I'm looking forward to that movie.
I'm very pumped about Deadpool and Wolverine. Yeah,
put the kids to bed before that trailer, though.
Do not take your children to that movie. No. And now, every time I hear our Let's Go thing with Eric, because that's like, I think they're trying to turn that into the catchphrase.
Yeah.
But it's not just Let's Go.
No, there's an F in there. It's a Tom Brady-esque Let's Go.
Very much so.
LFG.
So we got... our top five TV show reboots, movies that were maybe TV shows.
So this could be both. Reboots, remakes.
Can be. Either one.
So, because I got a mixture.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So I'm looking for the fourth one.
It's like the Battlestar Galactica TV series, the one that they did, the remake.
Yeah.
I never watched a lot of it. And so I can't really. I heard it was really good, and I've always meant to watch it, but I just haven't got there yet.
I haven't either. Is American adaptions of British shows, does that count? Is that a reboot, remake, or is that a little?
I'm okay.
Kind of neither.
I'm okay with that. Okay. I most of my stuff's kind of focused on TV to movies.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I've got TV show to TV show. Two of those. I've got two movies to movies and then a movie TV show crossover.
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to stick with TV shows that have become movies. That's the direction I want to go on this because my top three are all that.
Chris Kattan, Will Ferrell, the skit from Saturday Night Live. That's from a TV show to a
Night
movie.
The Roxbury?
Yeah.
No.
There you go.
Ugh. Dear Lord, no.
Yeah.
It's dreadful.
It's not even 90 seconds worth of a skit. How could they get 90 minutes?
It's dreadful.
Spoiler alert, they couldn't.
Because they couldn't do it. Yikes.
Well, okay,
it's like the Coneheads.
More seriously, like the SNL Wayne's World, does that count? Would that count?
I would allow that. Allow that, yes.
Yeah, Coneheads again.
Once again, Wayne's World, by far, the most popular SNL skit turned into a movie. I mean,
100%. Coneheads, 90 seconds, great. 90 minutes,
no.
Not.
Did you see where Mike Myers talking about another Austin Powers movie, maybe? His hair is all white now. It was at some awards show. His hair was just...
I saw that.
Completely white.
Why don't you follow up So I Married an Axe Murderer instead? Make another one of those. Why do we need more Austin Powers?
On a toothpick.
Yeah. He cried himself to sleep tonight on his huge pillow.
Like Sputnik. Oh, yeah. That was a good one. That was really good. So we'll have that coming up. Our top five players, I think, will have the biggest impact this season in the NFL that were drafted this past weekend. And TV shows turn movies or just reboots.
Reboots, remakes.
However you want to do it. I may have to open up my...
The database.
What I have on my list, because if we're going to include like British TV show reboot kind of thing, then
I'm torn. It's a show I've not watched, but I've heard it's really good.
So you have not watched this show?
Correct.
Okay.
So the other one that I'm tossing, it's a toss up between those two I have seen.
Okay.
So is it
fair to do something on a show that you've not seen? You've heard it's good. You're making an assumption, not by your own evaluation. You're very exhausting, very science-driven process, I'm sure. It's on, hey, Nate, our production guy, said it's good. And not that Nate doesn't have fantastic taste.
Right. But also, one of the reasons I have not watched this show is for 20 years now, people haven't been able to shut up about it. So you fight that fight, don't you? Raging against that particular machine.
Okay.
So.
I mean, that's fair.
But I've heard it's really good.
Okay.
From people I trust.
Do I make that list?
I can't remember. I think you like this show. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, we'll dive into it here in a few minutes. All right. So let's go ahead and do Triple Play Records Stadium Cinema this morning.
Know your sports TV shows and movies? Let's play Stadium Cinema on the team.
Since we're talking about TV shows and movies and stuff.
And this is a TV show or a movie that is sports related. We call it the Downtown Double Play with Triple Play. A $20 gift certificate to Triple Play Records and a small antipasto salad courtesy of our friends at Junction Square Pizza. Couple parameters to set forth here. If you want any time in the last 2 weeks, sit it out. If you don't want the prize, don't play. Also, there's no age restriction because it's vinyl, disc golf, whatever you so choose to spend your $20 on, and it's salad, which is an age-appropriate meal.
Absolutely.
At Junction Square Pizza. So any of those, and only on the text line. Text in 970-242-1340 to identify this sports movie.
Who say my name?
This is a present. You're really good at baseball. Awesome.
Gracias, albino.
First correct answer on the text line, 970-242-1340 wins the Downtown Double Play with Triple Play.
All right, very good. So text in. Once again, this is your last day for this month's never-ending contest to win that Honda Street Bike from Motorcycle Accessories.
Oh, yeah.
Today is it. May 1st tomorrow. So get your answer in now on the team line, 970-242-1340. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Pole dancing's on the way next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Listening to the Jim Davis Show on the Team 101 FM 1340 AM Grand Junction.
We got it together, didn't we?
All right, coming to the stage, it's Amber. Remember, everybody, $14 kamikaze.
Let me ask you a question. Do I make you horny, baby? Do I?
I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice?
Get those dollar bills out. It's time for pole dancing.
I can easily feel.
All right, it's our top five players drafted this last weekend that we think will make the biggest impact in their first season, their rookie campaign. Also, with the Fall Guy movie coming out with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. Our favorite TV show reboots or TV shows turned into movies. We have that on our list today as well. All right, so here we go. Top five rookies that'll have the most impact this year in the National Football League. So my number five on the list, of course, just see some quarterbacks on the list, but I'm going to go Xavier Worthy.
Ooh, that's a good one. I have that one, too. Not for number five, though.
Lightning fast, goes to the Chiefs, just the rich get richer. Xavier Worthy, the Texas wideout, he's going to have, I think, a big impact in year one for the Chiefs offense.
I think it's going to be huge. They just inked a tight end, too. An undrafted, actually, he was drafted. They just signed Travis Kelce to an extension.
Some guy.
But he's all right. But
did his brother win a Super Bowl?
His brother won a Super Bowl. He's got a handful. He's America's sweetheart's man friend. It's really. But anyway, yes, Xavier Worthy, I have him on my list. But this is a homer pick for me a little bit. I'm going with Cade Stover to Houston. He's a tight end from Ohio State. Big, burly, familiar target for C.J. Stroud. Also, high school classmates with my nephew Nicholas at Lexington High School in Ohio. So Kate Stover, a local boy making good for my brother's alma mater.
I do have a tight end number four. It's Brock Bowers, the Georgia tight end, drafted by the Raiders. Whoever's going to be quarterbacking there, Gene Shorts, Aiden O'Connell. They were able to save Kenny Stabler's DNA and clone him. Whoever they're going to have.
There's a Flores running around.
Daryl LaMonica. Whoever's quarterbacking, they're going to benefit from Brock Bowers' presence. I probably should have him higher here. Yeah.
Could be Jeff Jord.
could be. Chase Schrader.
Yeah, Chase Schrader, a guy we've had on this program past. I have Amarius Mims at number four. He's an offensive lineman. He's going to Cincinnati. Joe Burrow needs to be upright for the Bengals and I think for the health of the NFL. And he's Ohio's only hope. Joe Burrow needs to be upright. This helps a ton.
Number three, you're going to like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Even though people think Malik Nabers, some think he should have been drafted ahead of this guy. I like Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah. I think he's going to make Kyler Murray's life a whole lot better in Arizona. I have Marvin Harrison Jr. number three.
I don't have any top 10 guys in mind for whatever, because all those guys are going to be huge impact guys. But I love the Marvin Harrison memes already.
We didn't confirm. We just talked about who we think is going to have the biggest impact. I didn't go on where they're.
That's true.
Because we could have came up the list of out of we the top 10.
Non-first rounders.
I'm just going first guys are going to have the biggest impact.
I'm just going against the stream. But I love the Marvin Harrison Jr. memes where it's like, picture of Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler Murray, and it's just the very tippy top of Kyler's head. It's hilarious because of how short he is. Anyway, doesn't work for radio. I have Brock Bowers, number three, going to Las Vegas. I think he balances out their offense really well with Devontae Adams, running game, tight end. And again, whoever plays quarterback for them is going to have a nice, safe target in Brock Bowers.
Yeah. Number two, Roma Dunze.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a huge impact. For the guy that I have number one, I'm just going to go ahead and for Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I agree. Xavier Worthy, sometimes life isn't fair. Kansas City getting Xavier Worthy, the fastest guy in the draft. And then I have Brian Thomas Jr., the other LSU wide receiver, opposite Malik Nabers. He's going to Jacksonville. Jacksonville has a sneaky, explosive offense. They just actually all have to play together. That's my number one guy.
All right, so we move on to, because of the Fall Guy coming out,
mm-hmm.
I thought we'll do something, our top five TV shows turned into movies or reboots or whatever. I got Cobra Kai as my number five.
I didn't even think
Karate
of that
Kid.
One. Yeah.
He started out, on YouTube or something as a...
It's like a YouTube short. Now it's a straight up Netflix show.
Right.
I've heard it's really
with Ralph Macchio. So I've got Cobra Kai number five.
Yes. And I can't remember his name. I can't remember the bad guy.
Ken, I'm drawing a blank.
Crap. He was in How I Met Your Mother because Barney Stinson always thought he was the hero of the movie. It's so great. I have Hawaii 5-0 as one of the better remakes, reboots. That was the TV show. Not as good as the original.
Johnny Lawrence,
thank you. With,
William Zabka.
Yeah, Billy Zabka. But Hawaii 5-0 was a really good remake, I thought. I think they just wrapped up their run.
It was okay. I love the original one because there were so many just awful things about it.
Yes.
Why would Steve McGarrett wear a black suit in Hawaii? Why would he? Now, the TV show made sense. He never wore that.
Right.
Made a ton of sense. I've got the A-Team movie number four. I know a lot of people panned this. But Liam Neeson, he had Bradley Cooper in that.
Mm-hmm.
I like the A-Team movie.
The UFC fighter that was hot for 5 minutes.
Yeah. I like the A-Team movie. I thought it was pretty good, actually.
I went with Wayne's World as number four. This was either going to be The Office or Wayne's World. And I went with something I've actually seen. I went with Wayne's World.
Thought about Wayne's World.
Mm-hmm.
I steered away from SNL skits.
Yeah.
Turned movies.
It's the only one.
But it's the only one. I mean, no, not at the Roxbury or Coneheads.
No, nope.
I have The Office, which I actually watched every single season. I've watched the Ricky Gervais British version. It's like The Office with Jim and Pam and Michael Scott. We used to work for Michael Scott, by the way. Love you, Robert. He was Michael Scott. Yeah. He was very much Michael Scott. Side of the Office, number three.
I have the new Roadhouse.
Roadhouse. I'm not seeing it.
I liked it. It's close enough to the original. It's like the interstate and a frontage road. You can see it. It's a little farther away and a little different, but you can see the main movie. And outside of that, it's just good, dumb fun for 90 minutes.
So my number two, I've got Star Trek. I almost made it number one. I could have Star Trek number one easily on this.
My number one initially was Star Trek. Then I moved it down to number two because I had a TV show turned into a movie franchise.
I think we probably have the same one. I think the Star Trek, the first film in particular, and the people in it, no offense to Shatner and Leonard Nimoy, the people in the movie to me are as good, if not better.
Oh, way better.
Chris Pine to me is better than William Shatner is.
Absolutely.
James T. Kirk. I know, people are blasphemy.
Nope.
And then I got Mission Impossible number one.
100%.
First movie wasn't that great because I didn't like the fact they made Jim Phelps the bad guy. John Boyd was the bad guy. But the rest of the movies have been damn good.
Pretty damn good, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I'm with you.
All right, so here we go. Let's go to the phone. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Pete the Viking boy.
Pete the Viking grown-ass man, I think.
Pete, right, you have been on hold quite some time. You've gone from Viking boy to Viking man during the period of time you've been on hold. So thanks for joining us.
It's been a while. I was thinking about it. I've been listening to you, well, on and off, because I'm not in the area very much anymore. I think 1995. How long you been doing this, Jim? And congratulations, by the way, for that Chassa thing. That's pretty cool and well-deserved.
Well, thank you, Pete. I appreciate that. Yeah, my first year of doing radio professionally was 89, I believe. So it's been a long time. Did some stuff part-time when I was in college before that. But, yeah, it's been a long time. So you've been listening for a very, very long time.
Yeah, real long. Well, okay, so I had a couple of takes. It's Nuggets and Wolves coming up. And I have this thing, I'm not real familiar with the term. It's called, optimism. It's weird. I'm not, as a Minnesota.
It's like, you have optimism?
It's worse than being a Cleveland fan, Rio. Like, there's no doubt about that. Being a Minnesota fan is worse than being a Cleveland fan. But I don't know if you guys can beat us. I mean, I feel optimistic with the injury to Caldwell Pope and then also Murray's knee and the inability for the bench to do anything on the road. What do you guys think?
Yeah, the injury to KCP is a concern. Likewise, Jamal, you hope that the calf doesn't turn into a bigger problem. That was why Michael Malone was kind of encouraging him not to play in game five last night. Anthony Edwards is always a problem. Carl Anthony Towns is a tremendous player. I just Gobert is a pain in the butt, but Jokic tends to play pretty well against Rudy Gobert, as good at a defensive player as Gobert is. I don't know. I mean, last year, this series does concern me because this was the series last year that Denver had the toughest. And you ask any of the Nuggets players, hey, Minnesota series was the toughest series we had. Hands down, no doubt about that. They're going to miss Bruce Brown. The Nuggets are going to miss Bruce Brown because he came up big in this series last year.
Well, he did. And Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels didn't play last year either. And Ant has taken a step forward. I think P-Watt and Christian Brown have to be big in order for them to win this series. And I mean, on the road, they don't make very many shots. So I don't think it's a lock or anything, but that optimism is very, very exciting.
You should feel though, your team got better, and certainly Denver's dealing with some injuries right now. And even with that, I mean, you played Denver as tough as anybody last year. I think your team is in ways improved. Denver's bench isn't as good as it was. I think that's just factual. It's better than I thought it would be. But you miss, I mean, while Reggie Jackson's been good, they miss a Bruce Brown. They miss him in the biggest way because he was such a Swiss Army knife for them last year.
Well, I think they need some more scoring off the bench too. And I know that Strother didn't get a lot of minutes, but he's a guy that can actually shoot. And I know I don't know why. I think that they should have gave him a little more run in that Lakers series. I'm raising a Nuggets fan. I tried to make him a Wolves fan, but that's not easy to do.
Good for him. Welcome, child.
I have a 16-year-old, he's scared of the Timberwolves. He likes them, but not when they're playing the Wolves. But yeah, we watch all the games, so I've seen a million Nugget games too. But the other thing I wanted to talk on real quick was both of the quarterbacks we drafted are probably not going to work out. We gave up way too much in JJ. You guys just fell into Bo Nix, and you're like, well, you know, she's kind of like the girl next door. She's cute. I'll marry her, I guess, because there's nothing better. And if Bo Nix was good or was had that upside, he would have been drafted 2 years ago. And I know, you know, he got a new start or whatever, but it's like of the six quarterbacks taken, one of them might be great, two of them might be good, and the other three are going to stink. And based on the history of the Vikings, well, JJ's going to stink. Just that's what happens to us. And Broncos don't know how to draft quarterbacks either.
But he shouldn't stink, though, because he's going to have Jefferson, Hawkinson, Addison. You guys have Jones now. He shouldn't stink. I just think, man, you got that many weapons. Sam Darnold shouldn't stink. With the weapons you have, all I have to do is throw a 5-yard out to Justin Jefferson.
Bold and that's
all
you have to do.
They shouldn't stink. With the talent you have there, none of those guys should suck. You could get 85-year-old Fran Tarkenton to come out, and he could probably throw for 4,000 yards. I mean,
you know who didn't throw for 4,000 yards? Nick Mullins or Josh Dobbs or, who else? There have been so many just mediocre guys who, our coach, he doesn't like to run the football. And so we become so one-dimensional that, yeah, you can get JJ, you can throw some passes up there, but there's so many three and outs. And I'm not as optimistic. So I'm speeding. Sorry, my truck is going to slow down.
We have to go here. We have to go here, Pete. But hey, maybe Sam Bradford would like to come out of retirement. You never know.
There
was Dante Culpepper in Union. Exactly. Randall Cunningham's still around, right? So, Pete, have a great day.
Appreciate you guys. Yep. Later.
Great to hear from you.
Sean Salisbury's still kicking around somewhere, Andy.
Sure. Why not? All right, Sean Mannion. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Hour 3 on the Team Sports Network.